morning, church. Happy Sabbath. I'm going to be doing the scripture reading today from 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10 to 15. The next day, an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he held it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall," but David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David but had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men, and David led the troops in their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw how successful he was afraid of him. Amen.
Happy Sabbath, church. How's everyone today? Okay. Before I start, I'm not going to lie, I'm very nervous. So, if you're at the front, could you smile a bit more? I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to be honest with you. Coming back to the scripture reading, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10 to 15. It reads, "The next day an evil spirit from God came forcefully upon Saul. He was prophesying in the house while David was playing the harp as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand and he held it, saying to himself, 'I will pin David to the wall.' But David eluded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with David and had left Saul. So he sent David away from him and gave him command over 1,000 men. And David led the troops on their campaigns. In everything he did, he had great success because the Lord was with him. When Saul saw the Lord was with him, he was afraid of him." Does anybody here, put your hand up, can admit that they don't have any insecurities? I see. I'm not going to lie. I've had a few insecurities. I'm going to talk about a few of my past ones. Firstly, I used to be fat. I'm not going to lie. That was one of my biggest insecurities to battle with. How can I describe it? If you've gone through the fat stage as a guy, you know, your bum sticks out, your belly sticks out, and then you grow breasts. That's how big I was. I'm not going to lie. So, yeah, it's hard to imagine now. I'm actually thankful for the people who are around me. The church family and my parents were quite supportive in what problem I had. I used to get teased here and there, but all in all, they used to tell me, "You're okay." And that's something I worked on, and somehow the Lord managed to get me from where I was to where I am now. Thank you. Another one. You know, the smallest insecurities are the ones that annoy you the most. As you can see, I have this little, I don't know what to call it, birthmark. That's what my grandma told me. Back home in Africa, we didn't have a problem with it because everyone had these. So when I came here to England, it was a surprise when someone would look at me and go, "Why do you have a mole on your face?" So it was something which I struggled with for my first year in England because I noticed people weren't actually talking to me. They just look, instead of looking at my eyes, it's like they're looking at my nose. So I kind of sit there sometimes like, okay. But another way I battled that problem was through my grandma. She told me, which I was quite thankful for, but basically she said, "I'm not going to get any younger. My memory is going to fade and I won't be able to recognize you. And if you stay in England and I'm staying here, I won't forget who you are and how you look like. But that thing which you have there is my way of knowing that's my grandson." And yeah, it's her favorite too. Sorry, my child, I had to say it. I feel as Christians, the biggest challenge for us to face in this life is to become comfortable in our own skin. In fact, I believe that insecurity has one of the biggest problems throughout our culture. Every day we are bombarded by all kinds of media illustrating our imperfections and various ways of improving them. When you turn on the TV set, there's at least two or three adverts to do with makeup, hair, gym, and the most recent one, which surprised me, is plastic surgery. The world puts this image of what perfection is, and somehow we just seem to agree with it and not stop to think what God thinks and truly wants us to be like. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. It reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." It says we're made in his image. So why is it so hard for us to accept that we're made in the likeness of someone who's perfect? Why we put so much effort to try impress and get the approval of imperfect beings? Researchers say the five primary marks of insecurities: helplessness, isolation, vulnerability, fear of the future, and extreme pessimism. This was a classic case in which we read about King Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 18. Allow me to explain the story a little bit for you. Saul was chosen by God as the first king of Israel. That was a lot of responsibility, huh? Mm-hmm. Especially for a young man. Now, when comes responsibilities, there's also appreciation and attention. So, as time progresses, his relationship with God becomes slightly rocky, slightly unsteady. And then war breaks out. And when his nation needed him the most, for his wisdom and his decision making, a young man named David, who people knew to be a shepherd, someone who is classed quite low, somehow through God's grace defeats the enemy. Where was the king? So all that attention, appreciation that was focused on him is now given to someone else. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 7 to 8. To 9. "The women sang and played and said, 'Saul has killed thousands, and David has killed 10,000.' Then Saul became very angry. This saying did not please him. He said, 'They have given David honor for 10,000, and they have only given me 1,000. Now what more can he have but to be king?' And Saul was jealous and did not trust David from that day on." Isn't it human nature to feel insecure when your responsibilities or your power seems to be threatened? Don't we see this everywhere? Yes. Politics, for example. School. Work. Families sometimes. And even our personal lives. Helplessness, isolation, and vulnerability were clearly shown in the verses of 11 and 12 of 1 Samuel. Can you imagine what was going through his mind at that point? That same protection and guidance he used to have is now with someone else who is succeeding far better than he did. In verses 14 and 15, we then see a development, a fear for the future. Saul knew or concluded that his time as king of Israel was fast approaching, much quicker than he wanted. He wanted to cling on to that power which he still had. This led to further developments, extreme pessimism, also known as depression. Depression is something that affects this culture heavily. 1 in 10 people are depressed. So there'll be quite a few depressed people here. And one in 20 people are depressed at any time experience major and clinical depression. And here's something that did not surprise me from what I see in adverts. Women are more depressed than men. Am I wrong? Think about it. No one sells me makeup. I'm just saying. Women are 18.6% of women are depressed in England. And men, it's 7.6%. That's a large number. But I think the men's one would probably be higher, but, you know, pride gets in the way. We don't talk about problems. Now, let's tie this home with us. Insecurities are caused by our emotional needs to be met. And what we find in society is that we have to replace that want with physical solutions. For example, when you're angry, go shopping. See? When you're sad, eat ice cream. When you're feeling unloved or not appreciated, put statuses or pictures on Facebook for likes. I'm just saying. So with that little example, I'm going to use Facebook or Twitter as a self-reflection tool. But before I do, I have a question for you. Imagine this. If your life was interpreted into a Facebook account and God was looking through it, what do you think your profile would say? And in your profile, who would you be trying to impress? Would you show a devoted, happy Christian who prays and reads his Bible every day and has a great relationship with God? Or would you show someone who puts pictures of themselves enjoying life to the fullest, getting 100 and so likes, but still puts up depressing statuses? Or would you hide who you really are and show someone you'd like to be? We've seen those profiles where someone puts a picture of a celebrity or a role model. Or would you show emptiness? No statuses, no pictures, nothing. Just someone walking through life with no purpose and just looking for something to fill that profile or that void. Or would yours be marked private, not letting God enter? Wouldn't you agree, as Christians, that the first profile is something that we all need to achieve and display? For us to achieve this, I think we have to have, and I believe that we have to have, a really strong relationship with God. Even scientists and psychologists agree that a person who's secure with themselves is more likely to have a more loving and meaningful relationship. Because, really, if you cannot accept yourself for who you are, who will? Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. It reads, Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I have sinned against the word of God and your words, because I was afraid of the people and listened to them. Saul was so determined on seeking people's approval that it led him to a road of self-destruction, where he ended up disobeying God and even losing God in the process. We don't want that. Winston Churchill said, the only way to avoid criticism is to say nothing and to do nothing. Or my personal favorite, if you don't have anybody hating, you're obviously not doing something right. When Christ was on earth doing his ministry, he received so much criticism from every angle you can think of. Pharisees, Sadducees, his disciples, his brothers and sisters, everybody you can think of criticized him. And yet that did not stray him from his purpose. Christ's life was a life of self-denial and humility. And we also know this by the way he went about carrying himself. He did not mingle with the upper people. He brought himself to the lower people. He brought them closer to God. Before I wrote the sermon, I got asked an interesting question. Who are you trying to impress? This question has been ringing in my mind every time I do anything that has to do with my image. When I'll be brushing my hair, you know, trying to get the waves. I realize I've spent more than 10 minutes. I end up thinking, really, who am I trying to impress? Or when going for college, I look at my clothes. I'm thinking, yeah, that would go well with this, this would. No. Or even when I go gym. While I'll be doing my session, I'd see these guys who, I swear, if I had the physique and the muscles, I would not go there. I would not even, I'd probably hit the gym probably once a week, twice, just to make sure it's still there. But I see these guys every day. I talk to the few of them, and I'd ask them this question. Why are you doing this? And I'd get the same response every single time. It's for summer. That's... No, wait for it. And you know when someone say it's for summer, you think, what do you mean for summer? They say it's to show what you've been working on to the ladies. I reckon if I ask the same thing to the females, they'll all agree, right? It's for the attention from the male. Aye. Just lie to yourself, continue. But isn't it a shame that our self-worth is now measured on the amount of attention we receive? Isn't it a shame that for me to feel good about myself, I have to get the eyes of someone else looking at me? But don't we see this everywhere? And has now even creeped into the church. I know I'm going to touch a very soft subject, but the way people dress for church. Whoever kissed their teeth, like, disrespectful. I'm not going to insult anybody here, but I'm just going to ask, leave you with this question. When you wake up in the morning and you pick that dress or that suit, do you do it thinking, should this glorify God? Yeah, see? Ladies, when you pick that short, tight pencil skirt, the one where you sit down and it creeps up, and then you have to wear a jacket to hide what's... is to get the attention from God, right? Guys, I'm not leaving you guys out. When you get that white, crisp shirt, and you know you've been going gym, and it's so tight you can't do this... it's to get the attention from God, right? Can I say something? It's not what you do. It's not what you can do to impress God. It's what God can do for you. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the way he looks on the outside or how tall he is, because I have not chosen him. For the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outside of the person, but God looks at the heart. There may be some of you right now here who don't feel loved, who don't feel special, who don't feel treasured. I want to stand here and tell you, yeah, you are. Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, proves it. We are made in his image. Amen. And no one should tell you otherwise. Amen. And also in the famous memory verse, John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. I believe we can overcome our insecurity, well, how big or small they are, by realizing how much God loves us. It's a daily battle, I know. I struggle through it too. I want to be worth it at the end. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 reads, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We shouldn't waste our time on these small material things. We should just seek God. I pray that the choices we make from today may bring us closer to him and not withdraw him from us. We need him. And remember this as you go through your day or your week. God loves you. All right, thank you for listening to my sermon. I hope it touched you.